Father, Lord, why don't you put your hand towards these children and the workers. Father, Lord, I just thank you for these workers, first of all. Father, Lord, I pray that the Spirit of the living God would be upon each and every one of them. Lord God, as they walk into that building, that the power of God would be upon them. And Father, these children, Lord God, be with them today. Help them to consume the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may go. Don't forget your purse. Oh, good morning. Good morning. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? And I tell you, it's just good to see all those kids and all the workers. You know, Mama's 80 years old working in Children's Church. Look at that, guys. There's no retirement in the kingdom of God. None. From the youngest to the oldest, everyone is important and important to the things of God. And just as you are important to the things of God, to the things of God. Well, amen. I can see your bulletin. We do want to thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. Last Sunday we picked up, $1,142. And so we want to thank you. We want to thank you for your giving to the church. And we appreciate you trusting us, Jelaine and I, with the money and the finances that God has given you. And we just pray the blessings of God upon you and your family. Why don't you lift your hands this morning as we pray the blessings of God upon your family. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your church. And Lord God, you see how every one of them has worked hard this week to earn the money, Lord God, that they need for their homes, their families, for themselves, Lord God. And Father, Lord, I just thank you that you've given them the ability to work, Lord God. But Father, Lord, I thank you that they're willing to give and to honor you with their wealth, Lord God. And Father, Lord, I pray the blessings of the Holy Spirit to be upon their families, that you will protect them physically, spiritually, and emotionally, Lord God, and you will meet every need, want, and desire of their heart according to your word, Father. Lord God, I pray the blessings of God to be poured out upon them this week, like they can't contain it in themselves, Father. Lord, I thank you for them and that your Spirit would rest upon their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. But thank you for your giving. Also, want to thank Otis. Thank you for sharing last week. And y'all duties are done. Steve walked with the kids. Anna brought Mama. She can't walk way over there, so she has to get in the car. You know? So all their duties are done. But we want to thank Otis and thank you for sharing with us. And I've heard some really good reports from people. I know it touched my heart. And thank you for letting God use you. And I appreciate that. And it really touched everyone's heart. Amen. Well, y'all ready to get into the Word this morning? Let's take our Bibles. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. One was six, another one was four, and they were in a family pool in the back of their house, and one of them slipped off, and the other one grabbed and picked her up, and Chloe told her mama later, she said, Mama, God talked to me in my head and told me that Corinne had slipped off of that, that flotation device, and that's started them in Children's Church, you know. And God taught, and she said, I didn't know God would talk to little kids like me.
Mm.
And
Wow.
It says in the Bible that it will happen.
That's right. You know, I know, you know, they really are teaching them in there. They're not just going through whatever. They're really teaching them the Word of God. Because you see, it's the Word of God that will change people's hearts and change people's lives. The greatest wisdom, really the only wisdom, is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. Amen. And children, we love children. What they give to a church, because they bring life. They represent life. You know, when a married couple comes together, life comes forth. And so we love children, and we want all of them. We want all of them. Amen. It's good to have my niece, Cody, and little Foster, and Melanie here. They come from very small church. You know, I just told them, I don't know how y'all going to handle it tomorrow. You know, they go to Joel Osteen's church in Houston. And so, but it's good to have them. We don't get to see them often, but it's so good to have them. And we love them. And it's good to have y'all here. You too. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. If you haven't, lift them up before the Lord and say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, school's about to start soon. Yeah, Cheryl's going, oh my God, she goes back tomorrow. Cheryl has a good job. She's a school nurse. If there's some kid she doesn't like, she can poke them. No. She. Thank God she's saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, you know. No. But we do appreciate all the teachers. And probably next Sunday we'll pray for all the kids and the teachers and all that, and the janitors and whoever else is going back to school, just to have a good year. Good year. Amen. I want you to turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 4, please, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You know, many people followed Jesus to see his miracles, and they were drawn to him. They were especially moved by the power of his healing, by how he provided for them, you know, and did great miracles, great things. You know, my first job, if you want to put it that way, is to pastor this church. That's the love of my life. I mean, really, as a, if you want to put a profession. My other profession is post office, working with the post office, doing city work, walking. And I want to share this story with you because it really just blesses my heart. On one of the routes, it's a very a place that is not wealthy. You know, I mean, as far as you know, it's almost poverty stricken. It's in that area of that part of the city where sometimes I have to go, and so it's really in the project type scenario. You know, so you know just from that it's very poor. You know. Logic, you know, from what we know. And so, but the blessing is, you know, there is one house that, hey, we know how it is. We've all had kids, basically. We know all that, you know. We try to make them be quiet, and it seems like they loud, and we just whatever. Okay. But, you know, like I said, I'd rather have kids screaming and all that stuff than be in a cemetery any day. Any day. And so kids bring life. And so here, you know, at this apartment, you know, that I have to go, there's a bunch of them, and this is 12B. Every time I walk around the corner of the house to go and give their mail, they always have this elderly man. Him, and he's always on the porch there, you know, and then sometimes they might have two or three ladies because they all family in that house. very elderly. This elderly man's probably in his late 80s, may even be in his 90s. But one thing, every time, not one time, not twice, not three, every time I turn that corner and I'm going to them, he has this book. And he's sitting there and he's just reading. And you can tell from talking a little bit with him, and you can tell from the way he looks, that he's a very avid reader of that book, the Bible. And you can tell that he's been reading it a very, very long time from his Bible. You can see it. And I, you know, it amazes me. And I'll say, man, oh, that's such a good book. And he'll say, I know. I know. And he'll say something like, this is the best. And I'll say, you're right. I've never told him I'm a preacher yet. Not yet. One day. But he'll just be reading, consuming the Word. Now, this man is at least, like I said earlier, late 80s, early 90s. He's been saved probably a long time. Still has a hunger for the Word of God. Still has a hunger for this Word. You know, we would think, you know, he's probably been saved 50, 60 years. Probably, I'm telling you, that long, I bet you. And yet still consuming this Word every morning. And I know it must be for hours. Just reading it, consuming it, looking it over. The hunger that is in that man. And I've said, walking away, I've often said, Lord, put that hunger in me. Lord, put that hunger in me. You see, this is our roadmap, guys. And anytime we throw away the roadmap, or we don't look at it, or we don't read it, we get off course. So we have to get in it. And you might say, well, Pastor, how much should I read? Read, just read. And get it in your spirit. Because it brings life to your spirit. It brings joy to your spirit. Get that in you. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says this. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, now, this is what God is telling us. He says, look, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. God is expecting you and I to come to Him. You know, I know, you know, and I'm going through this. You know, sometimes we think, well, Lord, I have to go to you again about this. You know, and we think, I'm bothering Him. You know, God is not like us in that way. He doesn't get perturbed. You know, He doesn't say, you know, that's enough now. Okay, you know, I mean, He just says, come. Keep coming to me. Keep coming to me. Keep coming to me. Keep coming to me. It says, let us therefore come boldly. That means to come not sheepishly, but to come with boldness before His throne. That means let Him know about your petitions. Let Him know the things that you are going through. Let Him know those things that bother you or that you need help with. He says, come. It says in another, it says, come, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come unto Him, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Because you see, every time we go before Him, people, this is great. I know we think, Lord, I'm going to have to go to you again and ask forgiveness. Lord, I'm going to have to go to you again and ask for help. But God says every time we go before Him, every time when we say, Lord, forgive us, we get what? Mercy. We get mercy. Mercy is ours every time. He doesn't run out of mercy. He doesn't run out of it. He's saying, come to me boldly and with grace, and I will give you what? Mercy, and find grace to help us in our time of need. Thank God. Thank God. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Presents the seed of divine power and yet the source of boundless grace. My God. Boundless grace towards us. Presents that which we want first. It also refers to the goodness of God extended to all who come. During our time of need, all that is made possible by the cross of Calvary. In John chapter 6, let's start reading at verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company with him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennies worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in numbers of about 5,000. It numbered about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto him, disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled the 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. The last verse. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of truth that prophet that should come into the world. Here we see a mighty miracle of God. Here we see something mightily that is going on in what is happening at this time. When facing problems, always remember His power. Always remember His power. Always remember what God could do. You know, I know every one of us in here has something that's troubling us. I know it. There is something that is maybe heavy upon our minds, heavy upon our hearts, or just something that, you know, that's just there. It seems like when we get over this thing, something else happens, huh? It's just one thing after the other. But also, we need to remember the power of our God. You see, in the light of it, if we put problem and we just look at the problem and that's all we see, the problem gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's overwhelming to the human spirit, man. It is. But the difference is, as a Christian, we are God's children. When we have a problem and we look at the power of God through the cross of Calvary and what He did, that makes the problem look very small. And honestly, Jesus, with the cross of Calvary and the power that He has, makes the problem go away. He even makes the problem disappear. He makes the problem look smaller than what we see it. He makes us realize exactly what it is. In His presence, God can make all things possible. He can change every situation if we let Him. Just as we read the scenario of the people needing food. Now, Philip It's an amazing thing. Jesus already knew what he was going to do. When Jesus, they got together and Jesus was teaching the disciples, then all of a sudden there were thousands of people there because they saw miracles. They saw something happening. We're drawn to people that will help us. We're drawn to people that will uplift us. We're drawn to people that will help us, not just financial, but just will help us, will encourage us. Well, you see, the religious people weren't drawn to Jesus, basically. Very few, Nicodemus and all that, but very few. But the disciples were drawn to him. He picked them. They were drawn to him. These thousands of people, they said it must have been, they say 5,000 men, that's not counting them, the women and the children. They estimate 15 or so thousand people were in that group surrounding him, and he was teaching them. And Philip and Jesus, it says that Jesus looks up and he sees the need that is there. They need to eat. They haven't eaten. And he turns to Philip. Jesus already knowing what he's going to do. Jesus already knowing that there's a lad back there that has some fish and some bread. And he's going to use that to show the people, demonstrate his power to them. That there's nothing that he can't do. There's no problem that he can't solve. And he looks and he turns to Philip and he says, look, these people are hungry. What are we going to do? And Philip turns to him and says, look, we only have a little bit of money here that won't buy much for these people. Not much. And the disciples start to look to the people. It's an amazing illustration. They start to look to the people who has food, who doesn't have food. Instead of turning to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that has made all the food. The disciples start to look and they're looking all over and they come up with one little boy that has some fish and bread. And they bring it to the master. And they said, this is all we have. Guys, your problem, my problems, in the hands of God, changes. It changes. It changes. The things that weigh us down will change. It won't weigh us down anymore when we put it into the hands of God. When they took that boy's lunch, they took his food, whatever, you know, scenario of all that stuff, and they brought it to the master. And it says the master started breaking, he blessed it. He had them put them in 50s or so and spread them out. And he blessed it, and he started breaking the bread. And he started to give it to the disciples. And he says, go give it to the people. That's the same thing today. The Holy Spirit breaking himself and saying, giving it to us so we can give it to the people. See, we are channels of the living God to bless people. You might say, well, what can I do? Look, just cooking a meal for somebody that's in need or just to bless somebody with whatever. You know, that blesses people. They took that bread and he started breaking it and he gave it to the disciples. This blesses me. And they go out and they start to give to the people. When they run out, I don't know how it was done, but I know God can do it all. I don't know if they ran out or it never ran out in their hands. It doesn't say exactly, but I do know that it never ran out. The few loaves of bread and the few fish never ran out till everybody was full. That's like going to McDonald's and getting on the dollar menu a few hamburgers and feeding everybody in this place. And we leave full. That won't work. two hamburgers for all of these people. It won't work. Somebody's going to leave hungry. A lot of people will. But in the hands of God, He changes it. He changes it. He changes it. So the things that God has blessed you with, the things that He has given you, when you put it into the hands of God, He makes it prosper and bless more people than ever before. They started, can you imagine? John and Matthew and Philip, they start to just give to the people. And maybe at the time, I don't know, going thinking in their minds, well, I'm going to give small pieces because it has to last, you know. Try to feed as many people as I can, you know, with what I have. So they might have started with small pieces. If they run out, they look to the master, and there's some more. They get some more and they go back to the people. Then they start giving bigger and bigger pieces because it's like their faith is growing. Their faith is multiplying. Their faith in their God is erupting on the inside of them. Because every one of them, those 12 guys, they keep turning around and the master has more. The master has more. Can you imagine? After the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, tenth time, as they turn to get from the master, they're excited. They're excited about what God is doing. They're seeing a miracle happen before their eyes, and God is using them to bring the miracle. Man, God wants to use us to touch people by the Holy Spirit. You might say, I can't pray. Let me tell you, when somebody's hurting, your prayers will change their lives because the power of God that is in us. When we give it, it's up to God to do it. All we got to do is just obey. See, it's not my job to perform. It's not my job to make sure that what I pray comes about. My job is to pray and intercede and ask God to move and leave the results up to God. It's your job just to pray, believe, ask God to move, and let Him do it. See, what has happened a lot in church is when things aren't happening, man does it. And it brings destruction. We need to let the results be from God and let God do the work. The miracle, miracles, people. God wants to do mighty things in your heart and life. There's no problem too small that God cannot solve. And there's no problem too big that God cannot handle. None. Just keep it before Him. Remember what He's done through Scriptures. Remember about how He fed the 5,000. Well, 15,000 or so. Something like that. 5,000 is a miracle. Well, let's add 10 more thousand. That's a mighty miracle of God. What God can do, people. What God can do. Solutions to problems may require more than what we possess, and we know that. I know, personally, I've tried to solve some things, and I messed it up worse. Just got worse, huh? I know you try to solve all your kids' problems. I know it. Just and look, and we're proud of that fact, too. Now, there's certain areas, well, you know, the older they grow up, well, you got it. But we turn around and, man, we think, we got it. We got it. Man, we one for me, you know. We got it marked, man. I did it. And then a few weeks later, may not even take that long, we turn around and my God is like, something has been unleashed upon our children. Because, Lord, we don't even recognize them sometimes. It's worse than before. Look, guys, we got to put it in the hands of God. Now, God will give us wisdom and He'll show us what to do according to His word or Him speaking by the Holy Ghost to us. God speaks to His children. Just as you and I speak to our children, God speaks to us. We got to be tuned up and let God use us in those areas. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing is impossible. With God nothing is impossible. With God nothing is impossible. When facing difficult problems or situations, don't focus on the problem, because like I said earlier, it gets bigger and bigger. But focus on Him and His power and who He is and the cross of Calvary. Next to God, the problem is very small. Next to God, the problem is very small. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16, please. Verse 22 to 24. This is talking about Paul and Silas. And it says, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. Now, let me stop right there. This is Paul and Silas. They were preaching the word of God. And we're going to see again the power of God, the power of God, the power of God. How God can take a problem and solve it somehow, some way. And then let me start it over again. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. That means they took off their clothes. Probably, reading of scriptures, they probably took off most of their clothes up to their waist, from what we can understand and what we can see in scripture. But anything taken off is not good. And then they beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Verse 24, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Now, Paul and Silas were thrown into prison not because they were feeding the hungry, not because they were doing great things. You know why they were thrown into prison? Because they were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because they stood up for the things of God. And the religious people at that time, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, looked at them and wanted destruction to come upon them. They hated them because Paul and Silas were preaching the truth of the gospel, which was exposing their lies. See, that's what a lot of the religious people don't like. When you preach the word of God, it exposes the lies or the untruth of what's being taught from that area. And so they try to hush them up. But Paul and Silas wouldn't stop. And they took them and they took their clothes off, basically up to their waist, and they started to beat them. Beat them. Then they took them and threw them into prison for doing nothing wrong. That's an amazing thing. They did nothing wrong. Threw them into prison. The multitude rose up against them. They took their clothes off and they beat them and scourged them, which was brutal and cruel punishment. This is a picture of what the enemy tries to do to us. He tries to strip off what God has given unto us. He tries to make us believe that what God's word says about us is not truth. You know, God's word says that because we are Christians now, that we are more than conquerors through, not through ourselves, but through Jesus. That all things are possible when we pray according to His word. That who we are, He tries to strip that away from us and tell us differently, that we're not worth anything. But according to the word of God, we're worth the Son of Almighty God. We're worth the blood that Jesus spilt upon that cross. We're worth the beatings that Jesus took so that we could be released of sin and be set free, and that we can now be reconciled back unto our God through the blood of Jesus and through the cross of Calvary. That's how much you're worth. It says, you know, I know somebody says, you know, when he stretched out his hand on the cross, you know, his arms, he was saying, that's how much I love you. And yes, that's truth. How much the Lord God Almighty loves His people and cares about us. And cares about every aspect of your life. Everything. Everything about you. He may not be pleased with everything in our lives. That's not the scenario. But He loves us and He works in us. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit to come in and help us to get rid of those things that don't please our God or even please us at times. To strip those things out, to take those things out and build us back up to be who He is. To take on the form of our God. Not that we're gods. Please don't go that far. No. But to take on the form of our God, to His likeness, who He is, His traits, and how He acts. It says that Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. And it says that they were thrown into the inner prison, reserved for the most violent of criminals. You know, we have certain prisons that are more lax than others. I mean, if it depends on the crime that we do, or as a society, as a person, depends on what prison we will go to, They didn't do anything wrong but preach the gospel. But there was such a hatred there in them. Thank you, Steve. There was such a hatred in them for Paul and Silas because of the gospel. Because of the gospel, that they threw him into the inner prison. The inner prison, which was worse than the other parts of the prison. And when they threw them in there, they let the jailer do whatever he wanted to do to them. And it says that they took them, they put their feet in stocks. Their legs were pulled wide open apart with individuals and the individual laying on their back on the floor. And after a short time, the muscles in the legs would begin to constrict. Now, that's horror. I mean, but you might say, because of the gospel? Look, Paul and Silas weren't playing around. They were sold out to the king. And we need to get to that point that we're sold out to the king. You might say, well, Pastor, are we going to ever be thrown in jail? I don't think so. I mean, you never know. People might say things or whatever. And hey, that's okay. Let them say what they want to say. But we will serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But they hated Paul and Silas so much. We need to be sold out like these guys, saying there's nothing that will deter me from serving my King, my Lord, my God. Nothing will deter me from following Him. You might say, Pastor, there's many things in my heart and life that I need to change. Look, it's not you to change it. It's for the Holy Spirit to change. All we got to do is lay on the table and let the Holy Spirit work in us and through us. And let Him take those things out. And us give Him the things that weigh us down. And let Him carry those things. And let Him perform His Word in us and through us. Can you imagine? Being in that position of on their backs with their feet and their hands locked in chains, their legs pulled wide open to constrict and bring pain to all parts of their bodies. And all of a sudden, as the agony and the pain physically, Paul and Silas start to pray. I don't know what prayer they prayed. I don't know. But it says they started to sing. They started to sing about their God. They didn't sing, oh, woe is me, despair on my body, despair on my life. But they started to sing about their God. They started to sing how good He is. They started to sing and praise their God. Can you imagine what the other prisoners, what they were hearing? And they're saying, where is that coming from? And that's coming from the inner core of the prison, on the inside, the middle part. We need to praise our God no matter what. And I know where you are and I know where I am. We all go through things. It's hard. You know why Paul and Silas started to praise their God? Because if they wouldn't have, they would have died right there. They would have died right there. Their spirit would have died. Their bodies would have died. But you know what? Their spirit started to crave the things of God. And they started to worship their God. They couldn't raise their hands. They couldn't raise anything. But their mouth, they praised Him with their mouth. They started singing how good God is. How great He is. The praises of their God came forth. And everybody in the prison started to hear the message of what was happening. What the devil means for evil, God will turn it for good. What you need to get this, what the devil means to bring destruction and evil upon your life and my life, God will turn it around and bring it for help and for release and for victory in our lives. What we think is destruction, God says is victory. What we think will destroy us and it will hurt, God is saying, look what I can do. Because that's in the moral decay of some things that we go through in our lives. In those hard pressed times is when we see the hand of God move like never before. And we would never see the hand of God move if we stayed in victory and stayed on this side all the time. But I tell you, it builds our faith to believe. Can you imagine the faith in Philip and Paul? Paul and Silas, can you imagine their faith as they were praising and their hands and their feet were in shackles? Can you imagine the faith that was built up? Your faith is being built up when you go through the problem, when you go through the hardship, when you go through the hard problems. When you go through that, God builds you up. We see the hand of God move. Our faith is built up and we believe Him more than ever before. We know He's alive. He knows. We know He brings victory to His people because of what He has done. How He builds us up. And buddy, lo and behold, God will bring somebody that's in the position you were in and you can bring hope to them. And you can say, let me tell you, I know how you feel. But let me tell you, I know a God that can change the situation around. If we allow Him to. If we allow Him to. Paul and Silas. Acts, 16, but we're not going to go to it. At midnight, it says things got worse. But they started to praise Him and to honor their God. Your problem may seem big, but when it gets in the hands of God, it changes. It changes. It changes. When all hope is lost, like in feeding the 15,000, God did it in a miraculous way. In a miraculous way. I know we may look and say, my God, I don't know, Lord. But put your problems in the hands of God. And you're going to see something happen. It may not change today. It may not change tomorrow. It may not change next week. Because we like things instantly, huh? We want to drive up to a place, get our pay, and get our food, and get out of there. And Lord, don't let us wait a minute or so longer. Come on. This is drive-through, you know. Drive through. We don't go fast, you know. There's even some signs I saw at some certain fast food places that it says 30 seconds or less. You know why they're saying that? Because people are complaining it's taking too long. And say they want to grab the people to go in there. Now, don't let them be 31 seconds. I'm sure there are people that are going to time it. And complain when they get to the window. But God can do it miraculously. I don't want to leave that out. God can change your situation today and or tomorrow. God can do it today. God can do it tomorrow. God can do it next week. God can do it. God can do it. We serve a God that fed 15,000 people with a few fish and a few loaves of bread. My God, what a miracle. We serve a God that, yes, Paul and Silas were in prison, but God brought faith into their lives and changed the situation around. My God, that's the kind of God you serve. That's the kind of God you serve. That's the kind of God you serve. Don't lay in the pity party thing, because it will destroy you. It will. It'll make a problem this small look this big. And the only way we can get it down to what the size it needs to be is put it in the hands of God and let us see it the way God sees it. Let us see it the way God can solve it. Let us see it the way God can solve that situation. When we put it in the hands of God, we're saying, Father, your will be done. Your will be done in that situation. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know today we talked about, you know, just the miracle hand of God and what God can do. A little bit about problems and things we go through. As we bow our heads this morning, and I would ask that no one look around at this time. If you're going through something, and you just need an extra hand to help you, would you please raise your hand this morning so we can pray with you? I see 1, 2. Anyone else? I see your hand back there. I see your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Let's just lift our hands towards Him. Okay? Especially the ones that have raised their hands. Lift your hands, and I want you to say, Father, I give you this problem and this situation. Your will be done. Raise my faith to believe the way you want to solve it. Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. As every head is still bowed, I just want to make sure that we... If you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to give you a chance to know Him. If you have not given your heart to Him and you'd like to give Him your heart, would you please raise your hand? You'd like to give Him your life this morning. I see that hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Let's all pray together, guys, okay? Would you please repeat after me? Say, Heavenly Father, I give you my heart and my life this morning. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And I declare you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Look this way. Whenever a problem comes, cast it to Him. Amen. Just cast it to Him. You know how you, when you were young especially, you take some rocks and you like to throw rocks? And some of us broke windows and dented cars and whatever else, put holes in the house, I don't know, whatever. Whatever. My friends, whenever something comes up, say, Father, I give it to you. And just throw it to Him. And He's there to grab it. Don't be weighed down by it. Father, I thank you for your people. Lord, I pray the blessings of God, your blessings, Father, to be upon your people today. Protect them, lead them and guide them, and be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look, guys, Jelaine and I know she's in children's church, but we appreciate you guys. We love you. And we thank God for you. I pray you have a great week. And also, just a reminder, Wednesday's Bible study. And we're talking about God's prescribed order of victory. We had a great night Wednesday. It was great. We had about 15, 20 people or so, something like that all together. And so I want to invite you to come. We had a great time. I pray that you have a great week this week. We love you. And be careful going home, okay? Amen.